We have a question about sound, transcendental sound vibration, being more subtle, more reliable, and how that's how spiritual life is received.
That's how what? I didn't hear the last.
Spiritual life, how Krishna consciousness can be more accurately received.
Sometimes when Srila Guru Maharaj speaks about this, he often quotes a line from the Srimad Bhagavatam that is from the Ajamil section. The line, Vaikuntha Nama Grahanam. And what it means, according to him here, Vaikuntha means in the sense of spiritual. Vaikuntha nama, that it is spiritual nam, spiritual sound. He likes to quote the Prema Bibharata of Jagadananda Pandit. It says, Namak. Is there incense nearby? It's, yeah. Just move it to the back of the hand. Namakar bahiroi bata namakabunoi. That in the Prema Bibharata, Jagadananda Pandit, according to Guru Maharaj, he's saying that what qualifies something to be the holy name is not the nam akar, that literally you're saying these syllables or these sounds, Krishna. But, in fact, he says, that's never what it is. But is the, and Vaikuntha nama grahanam, is there some spiritual quality or characteristic in the background? Is it descending? Atak Shri Krishna namadi nabhavyed grahyam indriye. Rupa Goswami. The Nama Rupa Guna Lila, the name of Krishna, Nam, the sound, the form, Rupa, the qualities, the pastimes, they're all Nabhavyed Grahyam Indriyai. They're beyond the grasp of the senses. Means they're beyond the grasp of hearing, seeing, vibrating. They're beyond the grasp of all of the senses. So then naturally one will think, what are we doing who put so much emphasis on hearing? Right? Sanatana Goswami, Avaishnava Mukod Girnam. Putam harikatam ritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpu chistam yathapayo. So not all hearing all is really shravanam proper. Not all sound is kirtanam. What will qualify it? Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam. Sridhar Swami as ado arpita paschad kriyeta. Beginning, middle, and end must be for Krishna. So, minimally, this means that we have to readjust our thinking. Guru Maharaj quoted Professor Sanyal saying, if I go to read the Bhagavatam, to hear the Bhagavatam on the order of Guru or Vaishnav, then it may be Krishna Bhakti. It may be Sravanam Kirtanam Smaram proper. Said, but on my own, for my own purpose, on my own initiative, then it may be karma, it may be vikarma. So, at its basis, if it is spiritual, then it must be descending from the upper world into this plane. Right? We hear the expression sometimes, Shrota Panta, the path of hearing, Shruti, Veda, its divine sound. But when is it qualified as divine sound? And we say Vaikuntha in the general sense, but Goloka, we're more specifically in. Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtana. Harinam Sankirtan proper is a Goloka affair. Right? Looking for a particular quality. If we impose our own thoughts, ideas, observation, speculation upon the sound or the concepts represented therein, that may be offensive, misleading, something other than what it's intended to be. Right. Rupa Goswami in divining what is qualifies as pure devotion. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam. No ulterior motive, either karmic, from the karmic point of view, the jnana point of view. Not hearing to accumulate knowledge. Right? To expand our intellect or our repertoire of what we know. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo namedaya na bahuna srutena. The same, the shruti, what are they saying? Bahuna srutena. So much hearing won't get you that. So it's always some fine point, really important, the spiritual quality of something, that is what is important. Still, Srila Guru Maharaj said when he was younger, he heard this expression, what was that? It said, it's not so important as to understand the meaning as to continue hearing. You know that? Anyway, I forgot what it was. Anushasanam. Sorry. Anyway. And this runs against what he normally thinks about quality and quantity. Right? Quality brings us relief from mathematics. Right? The repetition of sensation is not experience. So he thought it was difficult. It said, not so much important to understand the meaning as continued hearing. So in light of what we just said, this seems to be a contradiction. Right? But means faithful hearing, a particular type of hearing. in the Panchadhyaya section, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vikriditam brajabadubir idam javishnu sradhan vato anusranayad atavarna yedya. Tells that, yes, one should hear these things, but there's a particular way that they have to be heard for the transference to take place, for it to be transformative. Shradhan vito anusranayad atavarnayedyat. The speaker and hearer, there have to be particular qualifications. That's consistent with what Sanatan Goswami said. Not to Harikatha, the mere fact that it is literally Harikatha doesn't mean that it is of a spiritual quality and characteristic. And as we are looking at these words of Srila Saraswati Thakur, and he's saying the dictionary type meaning and then actual spiritual meaning. And he's saying, and the spiritual meaning is as indicated in that slok from Rupa Goswami, beyond the grasp of the mind, the intellect, the senses. The Upanishads are also saying that. So then what are we left with? Tam evaisha vivrinute tena labhyas, tashaisha atma vivrinute tena labhyas. Atma vivrinute tanum swam. Krishna's will has to be in the background, that he wants to reveal himself, to give himself, to appear in that sound, in those descriptions. In the 87th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, the Veda Stuti, prayers of the personified Vedas, begin with Parikshit Maharaj inquiring that if the tongue is flesh, it's mundane, the mind is the mundane element, bhumirapo analo vayu kamano buddhirevacha, all these things are prakriti, they're material. So how can you vibrate something spiritual? How can sound be used to convey something spiritual if the instruments we use to produce that sound are mundane? That's his question. And it's a very, you know, that's the longest chapter in the 10th canto. And many things are described there. But in summary, it comes back to this point that spirit can use matter for expression, but not the inverse. No amount of material configuring, reconfiguring can generate spirit. There's not some formula or procedure, right? Formulaic procedure to follow that will generate a spiritual outcome. Rather, spirit, with Krishna's backing, may descend to this plane and express itself. In the Sharanagati of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, these things are mentioned. He's talking about the quality of Krishnanam, that like the Bhagavatam says, pravishta karna randrena svanam bhavam saroruham. When the spiritual sound enters the heart, then the heart expression, that's the idea for it to be of a spiritual quality. Not this literally hearing something, the transfer of information, like a data transfer. Machines can transfer data, right? Not machine-like, robotic-like transfer of information. Tene Brahma Hrida, heart to heart, and from the core of one consciousness to the core of another consciousness. We're speaking about Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness in the heart of the devotee. Sarva Hridayam Mahyam. Transferred from the heart of the devotee to the heart of another devotee. Bhaktya Sanjataya Bhaktya. So, Guru Maharaj also mentions that sound, it's here, it's the least aspect of the spiritual world and the highest aspect of the material world. The least aspect here, earth generates aroma. I'm saying in the spiritual world, that's the invert, it's the highest. But in what we take to be the highest representation here, it's the least aspect of the spiritual domain. But that's its preferred method of distribution. No. Srutayo bin binnam. The Shrutis, what is to be heard? Rupa Goswami nicely, in one of his prayers, Nikila Shruti Ratnamala, that Harinam, the name of Krishna, is the all the Shrutis proclaim, this is the central sound, the most important sound, the crown jewel of sounds. And Guru Maharaj says, in a mildly humorous way, he said, if they do not declare this, it would be to commit suicide. They're the Shrutis, sound personified, the Vedas personified. They must be of the opinion that sound is the ultimately liberating thing. Anavedanta, anavriti, shabda, anavriti, shabda. Through sound you can become liberated. Guru Maharaj says Gayatri explanation. Gana Trayate. That sound, that song that liberates one. But then all of these things will have to be qualified. What is song? What is liberation? I remember many years ago, Subhananda and myself, we would examine what other groups were doing, and we were preaching on college campuses. So at the time, transcendental meditation was very popular, and what's called TM, transcendental meditation. We went to one of the lectures to hear what they're saying, and the speaker said, mantra. I cannot forget that. Yes. Mantra. And there's like 200 people there listening very carefully. He said, a meaningless sound of which the effect is known. And they're like, yeah, that's really heavy. A meaningless sound of which the effect is known. Thank you. He understands how absurd that is. Not a meaningless. Maybe you don't understand it. Rather, condensed meaning, when Gurudev was prompting Srila Guru Maharaj, We prepared for this day where he would give his Gayatri explanation. And I knew, and Srila Govinda Maharaj knew it. Guru Maharaj didn't know we're necessarily going to ask him this. But Gurudev said, I think today is like a good day. And it turned out to be the best day ever. But to steer Guru Maharaj into that domain, Gurudev started talking about Gayatri Basya Rupo Sho Vedarta Paribringhita. What's the first line? It's from the Garuda Purana. Artoyam Brahmasutranam Bharatartha Vinirnaya Gayatri Basarupo Sho Vedarta Paribringhita. That Gurudev said it this way. He said, what is expressed in Mahabharata? A lack of slokas, 100,000 verses and one line in Gayatri. Veda Mata, said to be the mother of the Vedas. From this, all Vedic knowledge and understanding is coming out. But this is mentioned, Artoyam Brahma Sutranam, the Brahma Sutra, the Vedanta Sutra. Vedas, we're told, are the tree. Vedanta, the flower. The Bhagavatam, the fruit. I like looking at the mango trees at the Mott. You know, there's one next to the Centenary Building where Gurudev said Guru Maharaj's favorite mango is the Chosha, right? And so one mango that Guru Maharaj particularly liked, Gurudev took that and planted that tree. That's like massive next to the Centenary Building. But if you see a mango tree when it's not the season, there's no mango, there's no flower. That's not what you see. Its whole purpose is to produce mangoes. And in the course of time, the mango will appear. So people will look at the Vedas, the Shrutis, hear these divine sounds. Where is Krishna? When I was on the so-called library party, where you take books to professors at university, that I think New York University, some of the libraries we'd go to would have 1 million volumes or 2 million, three, you know, of a big university, millions of volumes. I mean, look through the card catalog, it's pre-internet, and find the cards, and I saw they had the Rig Veda. So I thought, oh, I'd like to see it. You know, it's the oldest religious book. Think about it. We've heard of so many religious books in the world. According to the Gurus, the Rig Veda, that's the oldest religious book there is. I thought, oh, I'd like to see it. We know that Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Suraya. That sloka. But so anyway, I'm looking there and I'm an aspiring devotee of Krishna. I want to see somewhere where it's like, and Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. I'm like, keep turning. I can't wait to like, so many things may be said here, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And clearly we're indicating that. And I'm looking through and it's talking about Agni and different gods, and I'm looking through, I'm starting to get nervous. I don't see anything about Krishna in this book. I mean, with my eyes. If you ask Jiva Goswami, you say, all over the place it's indicating Krishna. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jaiva Dharma and As Gurudev said, why? How can he make these statements? Like in one place, Bhaktivinoda says, all the Vedas are saying, you're talking about sound, what are they saying? Krishna is the property of Radharani and her girlfriends. That is an outrageous statement, actually. I mean, in the classic definition of astonishing. And bold. But Gurudev said, yes, because he has a view of the whole, he can say this with great conviction and certainty. Yes. Shruti bir vimrigyam, Vedavyas. What the Shrutis are searching for and trying to point toward, these girls, they own it. They've got it. If we thought, well, what does Bhaktivinoda say? What he's saying, he's spelling out clearly what's indicated by Vedavyas in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he's saying it in a simple way that is we're shocked to hear it. But he has a view of the whole. So Jiva Goswami, he has a view of the whole. Right? So anyway, I'm looking through there and then, according to my capacity to extract, I'm going away disappointed. Looking at the tree of Veda, I can't see. I didn't find any mango. But Veda is the tree, Vedanta, the flower. And what is the flower of the tree? It's the essence. Right? We can... those who are, connoisseurs, they can understand where this is going to go. But Nigama Kalpatro Galitam Palam Shukamukaram Ritra Dravasamyatam Pi Bhata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavukaha. The Prayojan Tattva Sloka, the fruit bearing sloka, the fruit indicating sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? That's where, so then when you're tasting the fruit, then you understand the purpose of that tree. Right? You could use the tree for many things, actually. But if we understand, once the fruit comes in, oh, this is what it was meant. And who are the imitationists in this thing? Like monkeys. Nuisance. They're a nuisance to the sampradaya. So many Mayavadis. They're a nuisance. Krishna assigned different seva to Mahadev to, and Bhaktivinoda says this, to say, so that there won't be a nuisance for the pure devotees. At the mat, the nuisance, monkeys come. And they want, before the fruits, or they want to, like, they just start eating, like, the buds. So the devotees try and keep them away, so that the buds can grow and develop in the main, but they just ruin everything. But anyway, Shabda Brahma is the sound. Shabda Brahma is its spiritual sound. Like Jagannath. Daru Brahma. When one devotee, in some regard, asking Guru Maharaj about a particular deity, particular place, Guru Maharaj's answer, he said, in Jagannath, they change the deity every, 12 years. He said, is it Jagannath? What about the original? Well, they change the deity regularly. Is it Jagannath? So from an objective point of view, what that may be changed, substituted, but what's in the background? They made a U.S. currency. There's new $100 bills. So what's funny is in certain countries, the ones that were previously accepted as being $100 bills, for a while the new ones will be doubted whether or not they're for real. But a shift will take place to where once the new ones are accepted and verified, they'll stop not wanting the old ones, especially in India. They go, I'm sorry, you know, like, you go, wait a minute, a year ago that was the one, now, you know. So, but the point is, the backing, does it have the backing there? That's what makes it valuable. So we want something real and not, the expression of our own delusion. Right? We'll make some sound and then hearing that sound purify ourselves. I don't think that's the idea. But what's descending? What's the agency of descent? Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnav. What's verifiably coming from them, entering the heart of the servitor and being expressed. What is the time? Any other question? Is that really the time? Okay. What time did I start? Okay.
So on the same theme, the descent of the holy name that Srila Sridhar Maharaj spoke about. Can you just give us an idea what that was, what he was speaking about, and
that's what I just spoke about.
But he gives many analogies.
You have to ask me.
Talk.
I mean, I just spoke about all these things.
Just keeping on theme.
Yes.
The descent of the Holy
You have to ask
name.
Me something specific, and I just gave a summary about
he gives,
the Holy Name, descending of the, all of these things.
He gives analogies like in the courthouse, epidemics being spread, and...
Yeah. I think it's better to read what he said.
Okay, I have
yeah.
a question.
Yeah.
Baladev, Yoga Maya, and Srimati Radharani, how they connect each other, like function is, like, how to say, very same. They, like, manage everything in spiritual world. But how they, like, which is, like, what separate, I don't know how to say.
I may not know how to say either, but Guru Maharaj, he will say, you know, with his divine thinking, he felt there must be a strong connection of Baladeva and Yogamaya. And he came, he found that somewhere, perhaps from Jiva Goswami. So, I like to say, on the basis of what I've understood, they are casting and scripting lila. So we will hear in the Balaram chapter, Nityananda Balaram chapter of Chaitanya Charitamritam, that Balaram, through his anant expansion, he becomes, you know, the Shingasan, the cloth, the upavit, the Brahmin thread, so many, the paraphernalia, his expansion, like stage. In the beginning of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur will explain that when Krishna sees the particular atmosphere of Vrindavan, the trees, the evening, the moon, the night, blooming jasmine, many things, that it inspires him toward rasa. And then that he gives an indication to Yogamaya to cast the rasa lila, to prepare for that. And so Yogamaya, on this mango example we were talking about before, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur gives an example that when a king wants to enjoy mangoes, the servants of the king, they go to a mango tree and they pick a whole bunch of mangoes. Then they bring them back and they see, this is fit to be consumed now. This needs some further ripening. So Yogamaya surveys the servitors and see those who are fit to perform this particular service at that time. And then others, they may need some more ripening to come to full maturity. Which, in the case of the mango, we know is like heat. Sunlight and heat can bring it to the finished stage. So here, the fire of separation will have that effect. So, Ekula Ishvara Krishna Arsa Britya and Govinda Mari Purusham Tamahamajami. Krishna, he's the enjoyer, and they're making so many arrangements for his enjoyment. But we should be reminded that his enjoyment is not mundane, or as we conceive enjoyment. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavitabhis tabirja eva nijarupataya kalavi. If everything is of the nature of chinmoy, spiritually conscious substance, there's no vitiated aspect of anything. We were talking before, defining liberation. Muktir hitvanyata rupam svarupena vivastiti. The swarup is constructed out of dedicating tendency, out of self-sacrificing tendency, if we can conceive such a thing, as the body, biological expression of the soul's delusion, it's constructed of exploitative tendencies. So if we can conceive of a form that's constructed of dedicating tendencies, seva, seva mayoyam loka. So there's no, it's not reactionary spiritual enjoyment. Guru Maharaj reminds us that Radharani herself is saying she's focused on serving the lotus feet of Krishna. Just as given by Das Goswami, And as Vilapakusa Manjali, Dashayate Mama Rasastu Rasastu Satyam, Sakayate Mama Rasastu Rasastu Nityam. He's focused on the least aspect of service and does not crave intimacy. It's the Prayojan Tattva Acharya. Srimati Radharani, same thing. He's trying to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. Same, but whatever Krishna wants, she is amenable to that. But that is not her focus. So, in the Ratiyatra pastimes of Mahaprabhu before Jagannath's Rat, he is voicing the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. Anyara Hridoyamon Moramon Vrindavan. Saying normally one's heart and mind are synonymous. She's saying, my heart and mind are synonymous with Vrindavan. So we can take it. It's a construct of her heart for Krishna's pleasure, his happiness. Shyamalila Avalambam. She's all of this sort of happiness is hanging on her, dependent upon her. Guru Maharaj reminds us that Madhura Rasa is Mukya Rasa, Adi Rasa, means it's the principle, the original. And he said all other rasas are like satellites orbiting this. They're not disconnected from it. Or they're clients of Madhura Rasa. Madhura Rasa is the original. And it's, we can think, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura. Or we can go in the other direction, Madhura, Vatsalya, Sakya, Dasya, Shanta. Springing from that domain, from that position. That Nija Rupataya Kalabi, as Krishna has expansions, Radharani is expanded in so many ways to orchestrate, cast, script the necessities of Leela, of these pastimes. If we read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he will reveal in particular purports different shaktis of Krishna performing different functions in his pastimes. Like I mentioned the other day, the Govardhan, Samharika Shakti, arranging so that when he leaves his house in Nandabhavan to go to Govardhan Hill, to lift Govardhan Hill, that not a drop of rain gets on Krishna. Right? His turban is dry. So how does that happen? They're working in unison. Yoga Maya is very essential, a type of Maya or illusion without which there couldn't be the maximum enjoyment for Krishna and participation in these pastimes. You see, Krishna and Balaram, they have to make decisions as if they are not omniscient. To fully relish these pastimes, they cannot be overwhelmed by their own omnipotence when they're fighting or doing so many things. It allows for sweet interaction with the devotees. Guru Maharaj would tell him about Uddhava and Krishna consulting with one another what should be done in a particular case. Thinking like the way we think. Krishna Rajateka Kela Sarvatam Naralila Bapu Tahara Swarup. Krishna's pastimes form the template for human beings and human pastimes. No, Krishna discussing some diplomatic way to deal with someone. What is Baladeva's response? What need is there for this discussion? With my club, I'll just crush his skull. He's coming with another type of idea. Another approach. No, it's like divine fantasy. But it's this divine fantasy is the ultimate reality. Whereas the so-called objective reality of this world is a phantasmagoria that's measurable, and we're impressed by that. That you can measure the have a consensus agreement upon a measuring system for a phantasmagoria, which is a great achievement of human civilization. Netihasa nikalpanam. Not a historical occurrence, but not imaginary. The ultimate reality, divine fantasy, is the ultimate reality. And Rupa Goswami writes a book, a play. He is writing Leela, reality, in real time. But because we're addicted to time, space, and measurement, so we have, is he writing something that happened? Or is his writing that it will happen? Or is it all simultaneous in some inconceivable way? Srila Guru Maharaj said, when Ananta Vasudev Prabhu mocked the Bhagavatam section about Rahu and Ketu, and the moon and all these things. Guru Maharaj didn't like that. And he said, in the presence of Saraswati Thakur, Guru Maharaj mentioned the Jiva Dharma of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, what's discussed there? These discussions between, you know, Raghunath Das Babaji and Brajanath and others. He said, take it in some other kalpa, these things may happen. In the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, mentioned Varaha Dev, Varaha Avatar. One fighting it with Hiranyaksha in the Garbhadak ocean, right? Another lifting the earth with his tusks. And one is, you know, Sveta Varaha, white, Shukla. Another is like Rakta. But mentioned perhaps by Jiva Goswami in the purport, they're from different kalpas, perhaps different creations, but told, it seems like one story. But it's reality. And what is the Lord's pastime? Who can think these things? Like the truffles of Europe, you know, truffles? Well, they're fungus, yeah. Fungi, right? So they use pigs or boar to find them because they have some special smelling ability. Right? So what are the pastimes of the Supreme Lord and his different avatars? In this one, in one pastime, he comes out of Brahma's nostril, right? And then starts to grow. Anyway, by smelling, he finds the earth. He said, no, he's omniscient. He knows where it is. You need a healthy dose of yoga maya. Right? So he's searching. Where is your? Then by his smell. And interestingly, what do we have in Gita? Punyo gandak prithivyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavaso jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapa tasmi tapasvijam. Anyway, punyo gandak prithivyam cha. Prithvi, the earth, that fragrance, some divine fragrance. So, all of them, very unique. So, by smelling, Kurma, who's an Kurma avatar, the Lord is supposed to be omnipotent. Right? So our brains will be thinking of the amazing, fantastic things he can do. But Leela, the upper world, how is it being expressed? Who is omnipotent, all-powerful, cannot scratch his back. So that creates some service necessity. Right? The devas and the asuras put the mandar on his back, and with Vasuki, this sounds to me like the pastimes of the infinite. Right? In the milk ocean, right? He has an itch on his back, they put the mandar hill, they're churning. Uchayasrava, the divine horse, comes out. Airavata, Indra's elephant. The moon. Lakshmi Devi. They're trying to achieve Amritam. And what happened? Kurma Dev, was it Prishte, Brahmya, Manda, Mandana, Giri, Gravagya, Kanduyana, like gravel. The English word gravel. Gravagya, Kanduyana, this. He's getting some relief and going, And what is his breathing? The Vedas. These are the inconceivable pastimes. Baladev, Yoga Maya. And Gurudev said about that in the last line, and the thing, and the waves of the ocean, they're still echoing this, that what we hear, everyone knows, when you hear the ocean, it's a mesmerizing, mystical sound. Some people even put it like on a loop or something for relax, whatever. There's some reference there, Gurudev was saying. That sound, that's like the breathing of Kurma. But it's also an encrypted reference to Madhura Rasa. What is that? I mean, what I'm saying is bhakya aparad. Can't properly represent that, but what I like to hear Guru Maharaj, he would talk about the ever watchful eye of Yoga Maya, that her and her agency, they're aware of all devotees of varying levels of development. Of course, we're just being in a very high way, but aware of all the servitors and their growth, development, and service necessity, and that everyone should be rest assured that we're all operating under the ever-watchful eye of Yoga Maya, and whatever service necessity is there for any particular devotee, that will be, it won't be ignored or denied. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You claim the nature of the holy name, that the holy name is descent from above, means from superior Vaishnava. And so there is no democracy. But sometime, like for example, in our current situation, it's no obvious maybe source. So how can be that? Like, is it so that have to one absolute, like absolute acharya, and others are like maybe relative acharyas, and so how we can be several acharyas? So how it can be, and what is spiritual ultimate spiritual guidance? How we can approach?
Well. Just to, I mean, to keep in line with what we're saying this evening, and something Guru Maharaj said before, there are many groups of gopis. Right? When we say Radharani at first, then Astasakis, and then etc. So, how shall we have any reticence in accepting variegated expression when Guru Maharaj asked Saraswati Thakur that Sanatana Goswami concludes Krishna Leela in one way, Rupa Goswami concludes it in another way. How shall we adjust that? Saraswati Thakur's answer was Adhoksaja. Right? So, Baladev Vidya Bhushan praising Rupa and Sanatana in that sloka, is it? Govinda Bida Mandirasita Hastasti Ratnadivat. They have the jewel known as Govinda in their palm, and they're, as they rotate the jewel from one facet, some brilliant flash of illumination coming this way, one turning another way, revealing something else, the same jewel, but handled a little differently according to the temperament of that particular devotee. We have, you know, six Goswamis. Right? So Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, Raghunath, but Raghunath Das, Gopabhata, Jiva Goswami, they're all representing some different aspect, we can say. So, we don't object to there being variety or variegatedness, as long as it's back to what I said initially, Vaikuntha Nama Grahanam. Does it have spiritual quality? and spiritual character to it. That's the important thing. And of a particular quality and character that's coming, descending in our Srota Pantha, our Guru Parampara. So, fidelity in terms of accuracy of reproduction as well. To accurately reproduce what has been heard. And as we told in the beginning, not in a literal sense, but to speaking to the spirit of the thing, the very spirit of it. Is this a holiday? Seems unusual. Why, there's, we say the Shruti Stuti, the personified Vedas and Upanishads. There's 108 Upanishads. And they're all in one place. Gurudev compared them to Shikha. Like the Shikha is also a flame from the light, Pradeep. So he said like 108 flames together. They're revealing the central absolute truth, but each one it gives its own type of illumination. We can take it in that way, that different facets of illumination. Guru Maharaj will speak sometimes of voltage. What is the voltage of the Krishna Nam of Yashoda? What is the voltage of the Krishna Nam of Srimati Radharani? And there's that sloka, Guru Maharaj quoted from the Bhagavatam, Nahi kasmad gurur jnanam. That hearing from a plurality of gurus will be beneficial. And we see that particularly in Shiksha Guru Parampara. Guru Maharaj's this famous poem to Saraswati Thakur on his appearance day, it ends on the line, Pranamami cha charanantika paricharaka sahitam. We don't worship Guru in isolation. Just as we don't worship Krishna isolated from his paraphernalia, from his intimate associates. Same thing with Guru and Vaishnava. We don't worship them in isolation. To be exclusive doesn't imply isolation. Not isolated from those who reflect them substantially. Hare Krishna.